Welcome to Your Career Doctors on Grapevine Radio. I'm Barbara Jackson, your host, and I'm joined in our studio by my co-host, Lee Miller.
And we're Your Career Doctors.
Your Career Doctors is all about taking control of your career.
It's about providing you with the information, contacts, skills, and tools you need, both on the show and on our website, yourcareerdoctors.com.
It's also about providing access to experts and to workshops. Today, we're going to be joined by Brian Silva from Dentiva.
Welcome, Brian.
Morning.
Brian Silva is the Senior Vice President of Dentiva Health Services, the largest home health care provider in the world. And prior to that, he was the head of administration at Linens and Things. Brian, it's that time of year now when companies are doing their annual performance reviews. Why do employees generally hate to get those reviews?
Well, Lee, I think there are a couple of things that make it tough. First of all, the employees really haven't had clear performance expectations set with their boss. And as a result, they don't know what to expect once they sit down in the meeting with their boss. I think an additional thing is they don't have a great idea that their supervisor knows enough about their performance and what they've done during the year.
Okay, and that's probably absolutely true, that their bosses rarely have any idea what people do during the year. So, but aren't employees always complaining about not getting enough feedback? I mean, this is that opportunity to get feedback. Wouldn't that be generally viewed as a good thing by employees?
Yes, it is. But as far as the employees complaining about not getting enough feedback, the answer is clearly yes. However, I think the responsibility for receiving the feedback lies as much with the employee as it does with the supervisor. And I think too many employees wait until they sit in the room at the end of the year with their supervisor and hope for the best. I look at it in a little bit different way, that I think every person has a responsibility for setting up some time during the year to review their performance with their boss.
So basically, don't wait until you get your performance review.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Now, usually when employees get their performance review, all they really focus on is how much of a raise they're going to get. Is that what they should be focused on?
Absolutely not. I think two of the things that they should be consider of paramount importance to the employee are the underlying message about their performance and their opportunity for advancement. Or put another way, if you're really concerned about getting more money, make sure that your career is on track and that you're positioned well for future performance promotions. If you're really focused on getting more money, you're probably not going to get what you want through the traditional annual merit review process. Over the last 5 to 10 years, merit increases have ranged probably somewhere between 3% and 4%, while on the other hand, promotions have likely ranged between 10% and 20% for more. So if people really want to focus on getting more money, the focus really has to be on your future potential and your promotion and what you need to get there.
So it's all about managing your career rather than focusing on your immediate raise.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, how can an employee make the most out of the employment performance review process?
Well, I think there are a couple of things, Lee. First and foremost, I think every person should have a clear understanding at the beginning of the review period how their performance is going to be measured. That understanding should include the specific goals for the year and how different levels of success are going to be measured. For example, if one of your goals is to build a new inventory system, there should be a clear understanding of what a satisfactory job is versus an outstanding job. Second, each person should schedule a couple of formal performance update meetings with their supervisor during the year. Imagine some of your listeners are saying, isn't that my manager's responsibility? And the answer is yes. But we all know that most of our bosses aren't very good at giving us performance feedback. And as a result, I would encourage each listener to take the responsibility for making those meetings happen. During these meetings, you should come well prepared to discuss how you've met the previously agreed upon goals and how you are addressing any problems that you're encountering. And use these interim meetings to ask your manager for more help or resources if you need it, and make sure you get their assessment of how they feel you're doing in the job.
Well, you make a really good point when you talk about having those goals measurable. How do you, when your boss says, well, I want you to do a good job. I want you to have this project up and running, by such and such a date, but it's got to be really good. Really good isn't a measurement. So how do you get your boss to agree with you on specific, really measurable performance metrics?
Well, I'll just use one example that we spoke about a minute ago about setting up an inventory management system. And using that example, it's usually time and money. So if you have a budgeted $10 million expense to develop this system, $10 million might be meeting expectations. If you do it for $8 million, that might be very good. If you do it for $6 million, that might be an outstanding job. The other measure on an example such as that is usually timing. So if you deliver it on time, that would be in meets expectation. If you did it, for example, 3 months earlier, that would be very good. And if you did it 6 months earlier, it would be outstanding. So I think it really depends on the specifics of the goals that you're setting. And I think it's important for the employees to sit down with each one of their managers to really be able to set those different levels of expectations. But I think it's critical that you do that so there's not a misunderstanding between the employee and their boss, between what's just okay performance and what's outstanding performance.
I couldn't agree more with you, Brian. Do you think, though, that the employee should actually come up with the proposal as to what those metrics should be?
I think it's a good starting point. I think the employees are going to have to know their organization and their bosses better than I do. I've always encouraged people to really take control of their entire career, including performance management. And I think they're in the best position probably to understand what good and outstanding performance is. But I think a lot of that's going to depend on the company and who you're working for.
Okay. And what if you disagree with all or some aspect of a review? What should you do?
Well, you know, this is a tricky one, and I encourage everyone to tread carefully on this. I've seen too many people hurt the relationship with their supervisor by having an emotional discussion about their review. I would encourage all your listeners to take a deep breath if they think they got a review that's inaccurate, unfair. And sometimes it's simply best just to tell your supervisor that you and she disagree with her assessment of your performance, and you'd like to think about the review and schedule a follow-up meeting within the next couple of days to discuss that review with them. At that time, when you have that conversation, I would encourage each person to make sure that they're bringing examples of and focusing on the most important elements, which are usually your future potential, and your bonus payout if you're eligible, and your base salary. I think it's also critically important to come back to that meeting with specific examples of things that you think that you've done a better performance than they have. So it really tries to eliminate some of the emotion and some of the opinion out of the discussion when you come to that meeting with specific examples on how you might disagree.
So when in doubt, take a break and prepare.
Absolutely, because sometimes these more emotional discussions, if you have them at that moment, if you think you've really been treated very unfairly, can really disrupt a good relationship that you have with your supervisor. And I think you have to think seriously about how tenacious you want to be about any one point about your review.
Okay. Now, what if you actually agree with the substance of the review? It's a good review, but you think your salary increase is too small.
Well, Lee, I think there's a couple of different ways you can take a look at that. First, I think it's very helpful to know what the increase guidelines are for your company. Mm-hmm. If you think the increase is too small, but it's in line with the company guidelines, you're probably best served by showing that your performance is really, truly exceptional and you deserve special consideration that goes outside the guidelines of your company. Another approach is to show that your total compensation is well below the marketplace, even although you're performing the job at a fully competent or better level. And to do that, you do need to have some exposure to or understanding of either the internal marketplace of your company or the external marketplace.
Well, you know, you and I have both been, well, you are a current head of HR, and I've been there. We both know that once that review is given, it's almost kind of too late to really have a major impact on it, on the amount of salary in a given year. You may have some impact, but if you're way, way out of line, it's really hard to get your manager, once he's actually given you that and gotten approval, to give you that kind of a raise, to really go back and say, gee, I was totally wrong and I'm way off on this one.
Lee, I think you're right, and I think both our experiences have been once the reviews are done, they've already probably been reviewed by one or two other levels of management already and discussed. However, one interim step that maybe some of your listeners could think about is, if not a review at that point, maybe not waiting an entire year to have your compensation reviewed also. And maybe there's an opportunity to say, I'd like to have a conversation about my compensation 6 months from now.
Good point. Really good point. Now, that kind of brings me to the question of, well, if it's too late once they give you the review, what can you do ahead of time to both prepare and basically prepare your boss if you think you're doing a great job and expect a big raise or would like a big raise?
Well, I think there's a couple of things you can do as far as preparing for your annual review. As I mentioned before, I think the best preparation for your review should occur well before you sit down with your supervisor by agreeing on your goals and how those goals are going to be measured a year ahead of time or 6 months ahead of time or a year and a half ahead of time, depending on what the performance cycle is. Also, those interim performance discussions during the year should go a long way to making sure that you and your boss have a very productive and positive meeting. Beyond those suggestions, I'd also recommend that you have a brief description of how you met those agreed-upon goals during the year and what other activities you accomplished and contributed to the success of either your area or the company. I also think it's a great time to talk about your future and be prepared to discuss what other opportunities in your organization you may be interested in and ask your supervisor what steps she or he thinks you should take to achieve your career goals. Some organizations ask their employees to complete self-reviews. If you're asked to do this ahead of time, I strongly suggest that you provide a very unbiased and accurate assessment of your performance. My personal experience has been that I've seen great performers usually underrate themselves on self-assessments, and marginal performers usually overrate themselves. I think people should be very sensitive to the self-assessment process, too.
Good. And understand that I would imagine that while you want to be scrupulously honest in terms of the self-assessment, you always want to put everything in the best positive light.
Absolutely. No one's going to manage your career better than you are.
Terrific. And what if you get a bad review? What should you do? What's your advice?
Well, as I mentioned before, you need to take a deep breath, and once you've had a chance to give it some more thought, reconvene your supervisor and give him some specific examples of your performance that are different than the assessment that he made. If your supervisor still won't change the rating, and as you and I just said, I do not see that happening too often in my career, you can ask to speak to your supervisor's boss. You can ask to talk to someone in human resources. But my personal experience has been that very few performance appraisals have changed, as we've mentioned. So make sure that this is an important enough issue to push up through the organization. And it would be important enough if you were being considered for promotion and the review doesn't reflect that, or that the review is so poor that you think that your job may be at risk. But I think those are the times that you may want to kick it up one or two levels. But I would seriously consider that action before you do it.
Now, can you use the review process to get a promotion?
Absolutely, I think you can. And I think the way you can do that is twofold. First of all, it's managing your own career. You should have a clear idea and expectation as far as what direction you want your career to go, in that you want a promotion that's the next level straight up vertically, or do you want to go someplace else in the organization? If you're going to use it for promotional purposes, you need to know what the skills and the attributes, the experiences are for that next step up, whether it is a vertical promotion or a horizontal promotion, so to speak. And you should come to the meeting with, again, examples of your experience, your skills, your attributes, and your competencies, and have a conversation with your boss that talks about how those experiences and competencies you feel match up very well with what you understand that new job is. So I think it's critical to understand, if you want to get promoted, what is that is expected of an individual in that role and how your skills and abilities and attributes match up to that.
Well, thank you very much, Brian. That was a great, great set of advice for our listeners. I'm sure they will greatly appreciate it and benefit from your wisdom on this.
Well, thanks, Brian and Lee. That was really fabulous. I know it will help out our listeners during their review process. Right now, we're going to take a short break, but stay tuned because we'll be right back.
As a professional trainer, I found that there are 5 basic learning styles. The computer-based training from Macau works on all 5. With Macau training, you don't just watch a movie or read a manual. You access videos, examples, and exercises as you need them. You can use Macau courses to improve your management skills or to become an expert at your computer software. To find out how to achieve more with Macau training, call us at 877-752-5329. That's 877-752-5329, or visit MacauCorp.com today. www.macaucorp.com. Macau creates training that works. It's that simple.
Feeling alone in your career search? not sure of which career direction you want to pursue? Maybe you have a direction, but you still need some assistance. An ideal solution would be a personalized career counselor or coach right at your fingertips and phone, wouldn't it? Someone who could immediately relate to you and to your situation without spending hours upon hours reviewing your experiences? Well, you know what? There is such a thing. Welcome to Ready Minds, an organization created to assist you. Yes, you. One-on-one, in the privacy of your own surroundings, you'll work with Ready Minds online and via the telephone. Whether you need resume assistance, job search assistance, or an industry review, your personalized Ready Mind counselor matches your skills, your values, and your interests to assist in your career planning. You heard me, career planning, not job finding. So let's get serious and find the right career fit, and then locate the best position for you starting today. Take control now. Find your answers. When you're ready, call ReadyMinds at 1-800-225-8248 or visit their website at www.readyminds.com. You'll get personalized guarantee from the company's CEO, and if you mention your career doctors, you'll receive a 10% discount.
Welcome back to Your Career Doctors on Grapevine Radio. I'm your host, Barbara Jackson, and I'm joined in our studio with our co-host, Lee Miller. Lee, that was a great interview that you and Brian had. It gave us a lot of insight, and what I particularly liked was that Brian, as a practitioner in the field, was able to stress how important it is for us to take control of our own career. In fact, I even heard him say, no one is going to manage your career better than you are.
And that's certainly what we've been preaching since we've been on this show, so we can't say that enough. You are responsible for your own career, and nobody's going to do it for you.
Right. I also like the idea of preparing by having examples, but I found myself thinking that, as he was saying, as you were saying, it's too late once you get to the performance review. I was thinking back to one of our guests who said, the best way to manage your career is to send out emails every time something positive happens. Even though you might be giving credit to other people, you've sent out the email, you're reminding people of your performance, and because they're emails and they're saved, you can bring them in with you to your performance review, or you could even send them to your supervisor before your performance review.
Or do a summary of the substance of those emails to your supervisor well ahead of time, just to kind of remind them of what you've done in the past year. Because truly, as Brian said, your supervisor really has no idea what you do on a day-to-day basis. There are a few things that they're aware of, but if there's no basic problems going on, they don't know about all your successes. And it's up to you to let them know in a way that is subtle, but nonetheless reminds them that you are having a positive impact. You are achieving various successes. And Brian's idea of having kind of interim status meetings during the course of the year is a good one. And you have to set them up, because your boss generally is not going to do that.
And you know, bosses, everybody, it's not just bosses, everybody's own first knee-jerk reaction to anything is, well, I'm already overly busy. Why should I take time for you? What's in it for me? And I think by convincing your boss that you've taken the time to set up this interim review, and what's in it for him is that the final review, which he absolutely has to do under, you know, pain of not getting his paycheck usually, will be so much easier, because you will have had all these little baby steps in the middle. So if you're an employee who perhaps needs some corrective action because you missed a goal last year, it's going to be a whole lot easier to have these interim steps, but they can be short. We're not talking about an hour worth
of
time.
They can be 15, 20-minute meetings. And you know what? The other thing is, again, keeping in mind the you perspective of your boss, is I want to have these meetings so I know what it is you need that I need to do to help you. When you put it in those terms, your boss is going to be much more likely to want to have those meetings.
Right. I mean, you from your perspective, it's all about you. But from his perspective, it's all about how can I help you? How is this person helping me? So you're more likely to get the meeting. You're also more likely to get a good review.
Absolutely.
So let me ask you something, Lee. How do you know? I mean, we've talked about the fact that it's important to do this early. It's important as you go through the year to really be staking your anchoring position for your negotiation, if that's what has to happen. But how do you really get a clue in the first place that things aren't going as well as you think they are?
Well, you should be, one, knowing your own, because you've agreed on kind of performance measures, knowing whether you're meeting those or not. But the other way you know is just to kind of be aware of how your boss is treating you. Because typically, most bosses, you know, it's the exact opposite thing of what they should do, but most bosses want to avoid confrontation. So if you're not doing a good job, you know, they tend not to raise the issue. They tend to actually ignore you, ignore the problem until it gets, hoping it will go away, and until it gets so out of hand that you're on the verge of getting fired. So you need to be aware of that. You need to be aware when your boss is no longer giving you kind of, you know, plum assignments, when that changes, when your boss is kind of avoiding you. Those are all signs that it's not all well, that everything isn't going the way it should. And then you need to take some action. You need to precipitate the meeting with your boss to kind of get it back on the right track.
Right. And I would think that what's most important to do is to get a couple of hints and then not gossip, not sort of stir the pot by saying, do you think that Joe is mad at me? Do you think I did a bad job? What's most important is to walk over to Joe's appointment calendar person or calendar itself, if you're using electronic means, and make an appointment with Joe and get it worked out.
Absolutely. You don't want to involve other people, because by involving other people, you only exacerbate the problem, and you can sometimes force your boss to take action because, you know, it's become a departmental problem as opposed to just a problem between the two of you.
Or maybe Joe was just having a bad day or problem at home, and there was really nothing wrong, and now all of a sudden everybody's talking like there is something wrong, so you've created a problem where one didn't exist.
Right. You never want to do that. We have enough real problems to deal with. We don't want to create our own.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm wondering, though, I was struck by what Brian had to say about the fact that in today's business climate, in today's employment market, with today's finances the way they are, that if you're really looking for more money, performance review is not the way to get it. Promotion is the way to get it.
And that's absolutely right. I mean, if you want a big raise, if you want to significantly change your salary, you can only do it through promotion, increasing your job responsibilities, or increasing your skills. To get a big raise, you need to change, become out of the pack. You have to do something that makes you different, or else go to a different environment, get another job. Big raises often come with changing employers. I'm not advocating that you jump around and change your employers a lot, but sometimes you do plateau in your career, and you need, the only way you're going to get someone to look at you differently and give you that big promotion is to basically change employers.
Right, and what I like about that, again, neither one of us are advocating that you jump from employer to employer, but what's good about that is that the person who's in charge of deciding what your career strategy is, the person who's in charge of deciding whether or not you have the time available in your own schedule or the abilities to change jobs, is you. So as an individual, again, it's just more of you're in charge. You can take control. You can set the pace here, not just wondering how much of a small 3% pool is going to be allocated to you, because even if you've got 100% of it, it's still not very much. So if you need more money and you have the time to put out a little bit more effort, the way to do that is to think about promotion and not about only good performance review.
And that promotion could be either internal or external.
External, exactly. And in fact, I think one of the tools that we have to help our listeners to really execute on this strategy a little bit better than they might, actually we have two. We have our partner Ready Minds, who we heard from at the break, who have career assessments and career path strategy and coaches. But we also have your good work, Lee, on negotiating.
That's right. And this week we're going to have a special for our listeners. For only $79, they can get the Negotiation Plus 101, The Art of Getting What You Want on CD from our partners, Macau.
And that's just such an important tool to have, to know really how to structure your negotiation, to understand really the art of negotiation, not just sort of the give and take and how to get a compromise. This isn't, your salary isn't about a compromise. Your salary is really about negotiating from a position of strength to get what you want, which is what our colleague Lee here defines as the definition of negotiating, is getting what you want. It's not about making a compromise.
And we'll also put on the website my book, Get More Money on Your Next Job.
Oh, that's a great idea, Lee. That's a great idea. Well, other than reading that book, do you have a career doctor's prescription for us this week?
Yes. Our prescription for the week is start early preparing for your review, because after it's actually delivered, there's very little you can do to change it.
Boy, is that true. Well, thanks for listening this week. This has been your career doctors, Barbara Jackson and Lee Miller at Grapevine Radio. And remember, it's your life, your career, and your choice.